Hello, everyone, and welcome to another big edition of the Pick and Pop podcast. As always, I'm your host, Luke Sicario, and we come at you today in what is a massive day, and we're coming off a massive weekend of Australian basketball. Joining me, as always, from the pickandroll.com.au is Damian Arsanis. Damo, how are you?
Oh, mate, what a day, what a weekend. It's been huge for Aussie Hoops. Of course, we'll talk about NBL times NBA. That's been massive. The NBL is back, but so is the WNBL, and what a huge, let's call it a long weekend. Let's conclude this morning's game as a long weekend of Aussie Hoops. And, of course, it all started last Thursday when the NBL and WNBL got underway. But, Luke, we have to talk about this morning's game first.
We have to. There will be a lot of red-eye Australian basketball fans right now, but for absolutely good reason. I mean, Melbourne, you've all seen it by now. Melbourne United this morning, 1 point. 1 point they lost by to the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Had two chances to win.
Yeah, two chances. He had Josh Boone and Casper Ware. Both got, you seem like, fairly good looks. Both got blocked, but that I just felt a sense of pride watching that. I'm like, I just felt pride. I'm like, how good is this? I was there smiling the whole time. I mean,
oh, it was fantastic. It was the way they played. They really took it up.
Yeah.
It was the Australian way, you know, be aggressive, full on in your face the whole time. Didn't give him an inch.
Yeah.
And of course, look, tell us about the Thunder first and foremost. There was no one missing.
Yeah. So take a look at the stat sheet. Obviously, we know it's an NBA preseason game. So how hard are they going? I mean, we can't judge that. We don't know. But you take a look at this. So you got to understand the NBA preseason is obviously shorter this year. Okay, so you have a whole new roster. So they want to build chemistry and continuity as soon as possible. Take a listen to this. Paul George, he played 39 minutes today. That's basically 40. That is a full game. Carmelo Anthony played 31. Westbrook played 28. Steven Adams played 27. And Andre Roberson played 26. So of their starters, 26 minutes was the lowest played. So they were playing their guys. You know, they weren't, well, were they taking it half-heartedly? Who knows? Terrence Ferguson, a name known to the NBA, he played 35 minutes. So the stars were out there. You know, the stars were out there when they didn't just play half a quarter and then sit down for the rest of the night. OKC played. They played and Melbourne matched them in every way.
Yep, they certainly did. And the other takeaway of the stats that you probably didn't touch on is Russell Westbrook has gone 144 straight NBA games scoring double-figure points.
Nine points. 3 of 10 from the field.
And you know what? Credit where credit's due. Melbourne United's defense was outstanding.
Yeah.
They were well-drilled, well-versed, and very disciplined. And, of course, this Melbourne United team, on the eve of going over there, were missing Chris Goulding, probably their best shooter.
Peter Hooley.
Suited to the three-point line, and of course Peter Hooley, he was missing as well. Probably not as big a loss, and no apologies to Hooley, but Chris Goulding was a bigger loss. But still, United really put it out there, and of course it's the start of the season for them as well. They've only played one game, albeit it was an opening round win against the 36ers. But just the fact that they've just flown over there, gone over there, and gone within a point has really made the world sit up and notice. It is an NBA preseason game. But as you said, it's a shorter preseason. There's a lot more at stake for some of these teams. And either way, it still helps put Australian basketball on the world map.
Yeah, and it really did capture the entire nation. Now, I'll just tell this little story. I was at work during the match. I was watching it at work in that last quarter. So our SEM breakfast show was on. Okay, so this is just to get an understanding of how big this was when it happened. We're in the midst of AFL trade period, which is a very busy time for us. But we had in the studio, our SMS machine was blowing up. People on the SMS machine were saying, how good is this for Melbourne United? We had Tim Watson and Gary Lyon, two AFL legends, standing up in the studio watching the Melbourne United game. They were out of their chairs, almost live commentating it on air. I was just sitting there in the newsroom. I was just thinking to myself, this is 3 years ago, we had guys like Andrew Gaze saying the league should be shut down. You know, they need a reset. 3 years later, we've got just the entire nation captured in on this team, getting 1 point within a team with like 20 all-star appearances in total on that team. I was just sitting there.
And it's supposedly a title challenger this
year as well. Yeah, so. Like it's hard to believe how far they've come in such a short period. It's just, it's unbelievable. Yeah. It's a credit
and look,
to everyone.
Credit to everyone involved. Credit to Kesselman, Larry Kesselman,
yeah.
the
Jeremy Loliga. Yep.
Look, the work that everyone's done has been fantastic, and this is just another step in the right direction for the NBL. Nothing but positives. And, of course, this is the second game, last week.
Yeah, well, last week we had
the Sydney Kings take on the Utah Jazz.
Yeah, and look, people are going to look at the scoreboard. Utah won by 24, 25 points. They think, oh, you know, not as close as Melbourne. But, hey, let's get something straight here. Sydney Kings outscored them by 9 points in the second quarter. I'm pretty sure from the quarter time onwards, Utah only outscored them by four or something like that.
Exactly. It was close after quarter time, and you could nearly say it was sort of like the kangaroo in the headlights.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. And that's what it looked like. That's what it felt like to me. But overall, that was a creditable performance there by the Kings. And, of course, Perry Ellis had a great game too. And he's been touted as a potential NBA prospect.
Yep.
New import for the Kings, 19 points. And then guys like, you know, Toddy Blanchfield had 8 and 9.
Yep.
Kevin Lish, 13 points. And Kadee, 14 off the bench.
Off the bench.
A great experience for someone like Kadee in particular. But Kevin Lish, I thought, looked really good in that game too. His defensive intensity was outstanding.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, it's just an NBL team going over there without embarrassing themselves. We've got one more to go. We've got Brisbane against Phoenix later in the week. And
On Saturday. Live on ESPN Australia.
Yeah, which is great as well. The fact that we get to watch these games, I mean, we can all buy a league pass, I understand that, but the fact we can watch them on television is just, it's a massive step forward. I mean, it's just a credit. You just smile about it. Yeah. It's so proud. We have to move on to, unfortunately, some really bad news, Damer. I mean, you talk about the highs and lows of basketball. We just spoke about the Utah Jazz and one of their Aussies, Dante Exum. The kid can't catch a break. I mean, he's hurt his shoulder, and there's been no confirmation, I think, at this stage, but we're pretty certain it's season-ending surgery on his shoulder. Anyone who saw the incident kind of knew straight away it looked really bad, really bad.
It did, and it was a clumsy defensive attempt by TJ Warren.
Yeah.
It was a preseason game against the Suns. Exum came out with a steal, ended up on the breakaway, pretty much going for a layup, and then a really late block attempt by Warren. Landed heavily on Exum's shoulder. Exum hit the ground hard. Whether he did it hitting the ground or when he got hit in the air, he immediately was writhing in pain on the ground, and it didn't look good. Even Coach Snyder said it didn't look good at the time. And at the moment, it's looking like surgery is a likely option. And if that happens, it's possible we are not going to see Dante Exum again this season.
And it's a real shame because he had shown signs in the preseason. You know, he had this one really nice spin move. His explosiveness looked back after last year. We know last year was a bit indifferent with his core time and consistency and performance and whatnot. But you thought, you know, he's already missed that year of the ACL. He's finally getting some continuity. We've spoken about it before on the podcast, Damo, that he's still very young. You know, he's a very, very...
He's
22 with 3 or 4 years experience, or 2 to 3 years experience in the NBA system. And now to get another season taken away from him, it's just, it's rough. I mean,
well, if that happens, it is very rough. And, his NBA Summer League was very impressive. He was showing signs that he was ready. Even in the limited time we've seen him in the preseason games.
Yeah, exactly.
He was showing something as well. And, you know, that spin move and dunk he did the other day was just sensational. And there's been glimpses and signs that this kid was ready to become a bona fide NBA player, let alone a potential starter, and live up to that top five billing that he went in the NBA draft. But right now, he just needs to get well, and we're all wishing Dante Exum the best in his recovery.
A speedy and healthy recovery, and hopefully it's not the season. I mean, look, it's still not confirmed. We're probably leaning towards that way. It is likely, but hey, fingers crossed, who knows. Let's move on to our domestic comps, Damo. They kicked off...
The NBL, look now, you've seen every game of NBL this weekend.
Yes.
It's gone. And what a weekend it was for you.
Yeah.
Was it the season opener when Melbourne United beat Adelaide, or was it one of these other games? Well, what were the takeaways for you in this opening round of the NBL?
Look, it started off sensational. Our first two games, we were treated. We had Melbourne and Adelaide with 2 points, Cairns and Illawarra 1 point, and of course, Alex Loudon hit a free throw in the final seconds. I think it was 0.8 seconds left. Reece Martin, I don't know what he was doing. A horrible foul to give away. I mean, that was a crazy finish. You know, Cairns led by 2 with 15 seconds left. They had the ball. You think the Hawks have to foul here. Cairns actually turned it over. The Hawks got a fast break dunk and then going the other way. They foul in the last second when Alex Loudon's taking a low percentage shot at that. And they end up winning the game. I want to speak about the Cairns Taipans. They're first. They are undefeated. They're 2-0. And Look, it was just typical Cairns basketball. It wasn't pretty. I mean, that game they played against New Zealand, the last game of the round, was probably the worst game of the round. It was full of turnovers. It was ugly. It was dull. But hey, it was a Cairns Taipans getting a double-digit win in New Zealand on a weekend where they already have played. That is massive. Yeah, that's absolutely massive for the Cairns.
We talked about it in our preseason show around the NBL. Cairns is just going to be Cairns, and there's no reason to think they're not going to be thereabouts again come finals. And to go through 2-0 in the opening round of the season that went via New Zealand,
in the
second leg of their two games, that's a great start to the season.
I mean, you look at the numbers, and it's typical Cairns. Against the Hawks, they only led for just over 3 minutes of the game, but hey, they led when the final buzzer went. It's an even spread. Alex Loudon had 19 against the Hawks. Against New Zealand, he had Scoochie Smith. He had 18. Stephen Way had 17. Cam Glidden had 12. There's no standout. You know, it's just it's team basketball, and I thought that was massive. We'll take a look quickly at some of the other results. United, that was a big win for Melbourne. I'll tell you why. Because in the first half, 36ers had built a double-digit lead, and they were getting to the rim so easily. Melbourne's defense was falling apart, and you just had a feeling like, not again. You're like, don't tell me their defense is just going to ruin it again. But they showed heart and resilience that we didn't see last year. They bounced back in the second half, a 40-point third quarter, third best quarter in NBL history since we moved to the 10-minute quarter format in 09. Outscored them by 20, stopped their run. So that was big. Massive tick for Melbourne United to get a home away win. An important away win because, as we know, they then travelled the morning after at 6 a.m. They go to play in Adelaide again on Saturday night. How much would a jet lag affect them? Who knows? It definitely affected the Sydney Kings because they were ran off the court by Adelaide in the second half, 59-46 in their game. Look, the Kings weren't bad, but they were just gassed. You know, just come back from Utah against the Jazz. So I'm kind of giving, you don't want to give them a pass because they still lost. But you kind of give him a pass just because of the circumstance. And even Joey Wright said it after the game. He said, look, he said, Andrew Gaze isn't going to use it as an excuse, but he said, jet lag affects us all. You know, we're all just people at the end of the day. You can't hide those effects. Perth Wildcats, Brisbane, you know, 10-point win for the Wildcats. I don't think they were that great. Oh, I think we can see better from the Wildcats. It was a great home win against Brisbane. Brisbane, we know, were last year. Not too sure where they sit at the moment. Stephen Holt was really quiet. He just had 7 points. He only had 6 field goal attempts. You want to see that increase. My biggest takeaway from that game was Bryce Cotton is by far and away the best player in this league. You know, he's just on another level. It's 17 points in the first half, and he's great. JP Tokoto, their import, he can jump. Yeah, that boy, he's got real athleticism. So, look.
We predicted that it happened.
Yeah, solid win for the Wildcats. That's just a general overview of the round. I mean, look, round one, we can't draw any sweeping circumstances. But
you can't draw any conclusions after one round.
You can't. But what we do know is the Cairns Taipans are going to do what the Cairns Taipans do. That was for me. I'm like, they're 2-0. No one predicted that. Hey, Damo, WNBL.
From Luke. Yeah, WNBL, what a weekend. And we talked it up beforehand that this is going to be potentially one of the closest seasons on record. Well, the opening round certainly encouraged that thought process even further.
Yeah.
Of course, it was back on Thursday, and what an array of talent we've got spread across the league, first and foremost. The return of Biff Keambays, and that was the theme of the opening game of the round that was brought forward. The Boomers got over the top of the Dandenong Rangers. Dandenong Rangers suffering some injuries, struggling to get some of their backcourt onto the court for that game. But of course, Keambays finished with 17.6 rebounds, 2 assists.
And an ejection.
I'll get to that in a second. But she certainly made her presence known. Jenna O'Hay was also back. She had 11-11 double-double. The Blitzavs stepsisters, I'll call them.
Yeah.
They put in some of their best work for Dandenong. They had 17 points and 16 respectively. But really, it was the Boomers getting it done, as many would have predicted. But, you know, Keambays got ejected. And there's a bit of bad blood there because of the way she reacted.
Yeah.
And it's not exactly the kind of role model behaviour that he expects of someone of her stature.
Well, we had Guy Malloy before the season, Boomers coach, kind of talked about that. He said they almost found a way to control her emotions. We all know she's prone to outbursts like that. Well, on one game's performance, I don't know how good of a job they've done. You're getting ejected in your first game back. But
no,
hey.
But there were some massive games over the weekend.
Yeah, so talk us through
Adelaide,
them.
Yeah, so the new look Adelaide Lightning fronted up against the reigning champs of Sydney Uni Flames. They came away with a win. Nat Novosel, who played with the Rangers last year, she had a near triple-double. 21 points, 8 rebounds, 9 assists and 3 steals. Nicole Seacamp is also new to the club. She had 16 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists and 2 steals. And, of course, Abby Bishop was back in action for them as well. And so they've got an impressive lineup. Katie Ray Ebsery, another returning to the league, of course, an Opal. She was a star of Sydney's outing with 20 points and 7 assists, but they dropped their first game. Canberra got a win over Bendigo to open their season, and I'll talk a bit more about Canberra in a minute, but Abby Waring, she had 22 points and 5 rebounds. Jordan Hooper, back in the WNBL, 18 points, and Ezzy McBeager, my pick for Rookie of the Year. Yep. She had 20 minutes on court for 12 points and 8 rebounds.
14 points.
So there you go. Yep. My apologies. Kelsey Griffin was Bendigo's best with 22 points, and Betnesia Laney was outstanding with 19. But the big battle of the weekend for mine was the televised one. We had Susie Bakovic going up against Liz Cambage. Unfortunately for Bakovic, she actually got in foul trouble early, and it became the Kayla George show, who's back in the league as well. Again, another Opal. So on TV, we had Kayla George, who almost single-handedly ignited her side. They came away with a 63-54 win to prevent Melbourne going 2-0 for the weekend. And, of course, the Fire are sitting pretty 1-0 to start. And
17 points, 22 rebounds, 3 steals and 2 blocks for George in that game.
Huge
Unbelievable.
Huge game. And Jenna O'Hagg, again, with another double-double, 10 points, 14 rebounds and 3 assists. And Cam Bays had 15 points in that one. And, of course, the Caps, they're at top of the table, 2-0 after round one. They topped the Adelaide Lightning, who took out the reigning premiers. So when I talk close league, you already can see it in round one. It's happening already.
Getting confused just listening to this. The results all over the place.
They're throwing them everywhere. But the Caps are 2-0. Hooper was, again, brilliant, 19 points. Rachel Jarry back in the WNBL as well. She had 15 points, and Bishop was Adelaide's best with 21, but it just wasn't their game. And Sydney bounced back after losing their game, the reigning premiers. They beat Perth, and it was the veteran Belinda Snow wound back the clock, 18 points, 9 assists. Jennifer Hampson had 20 points, 9 rebounds, and Asia Taylor, 20 points, 9 rebounds, were also brilliant.
That's a lot to digest.
There's a huge amount going on, and as I said, you know, every team is put it out there, and the WNBL is something to get excited about just as much as the NBL this season.
Absolutely. WNBL back Thursday night. Adelaide versus Perth. They kick off round two there, so keep an eye on that one. Of course, keep an eye pickandroll.com.au for all the latest news regarding the WNBL, the NBL, the NBL, ex-NBA, the whole lot. Dante Exum's injury as well.
Next week we'll have European basketball to talk about as well.
Exactly, and there's a whole heap of Aussies. Just really quickly, Damon, before we wrap up, your top 2-3 Aussies to watch in the European League this year?
Oh, look, there's no doubt you've got to look out for Jonah Bolden, NBA draftee, with the Philadelphia 76ers. He's playing for Maccabi Tel Aviv. You got Ryan Brokoff at Lokomotiv Kuban in Russia once again. And, of course, Brock Modem, who changed teams in the off-season. He's playing with Anadolu Efes Istanbul. And he's playing in Turkey and will be playing EuroLeague as well. So there's 3 that you need to look out for. And hopefully we can talk about some of them next week.
I look forward to another season of your European team name announcements, because they're unbelievable. A lot better job than I do pronouncing those names. They're very tough, they are. They're very tough. We've got to wrap it up here, of course. Pick and Roll AU and all your social media channels to keep an eye on all the latest news and views from Australian basketball across all leagues and competitions. Damo, thanks for joining me again on the Pick and Pop podcast.
Next week, Luke. See you then.